Wake up, wake up, wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is a caller from Sugarland.
A caller from Sugarland. All right, why are you mad this morning, Mama?
I'm mad this morning because the hospital that I used to work at in the medical center, it shut down. So when the hospital shut down, all of these other hospitals in the surrounding areas and other places knew that this hospital shut down, and they knew we was going to all need jobs. So when we all flock over there to apply for these jobs, they are like underpaying us like $7 to $8 because they know we need the jobs. So that's why I'm mad. I feel like we being pimped.
You are being pimped.
We are, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, you can go find other jobs, true enough, but, I mean, just think, you come from one job, you got to accept the first thing that comes to you because it's better than nothing, and unemployment not going to pay you what you was getting. So, that's why I'm at this morning.
So, okay. When you going to finally accept being a hoe?
What?
Because you're a pimp, so when you
stop it.
When you
going to
accept
mama.
Being a hoe?
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's going on, son?
What's up? You mad or you blessed this morning?
I'm blessed this morning, son.
Why are you blessed? Tell us why.
Yo, I just want to give a blessed shout-out to my girl, man. This Lucy out of Brooklyn. You know what I mean? She beat me off this morning like a can of buttermilk biscuits this morning, 3 a.m. Just want to say I'm blessed to her. Shout-out to her, man. We from Atlanta, man.
Did you just say she beat me off?
I think he definitely said that.
I think you meant to say you beat it off.
Well, we understand.
She beat me off.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you could call us. Or if you feel blessed, hit us up. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Pick up the mother phone and dial. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah. Hey, Jasmine.
I'm actually kind of mad at you.
Oh, why you mad at me? What'd I do?
So you and Gia shouted me out on your podcast.
Okay.
As far as trying to get me some information, I'm still kind of waiting for that information, DJ Envy.
You don't remember what you're talking about.
Hey, I don't know what you're talking about. What information?
All right, so I wrote you about my mom and an incident that happened to me when I was 7 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you were going to try and get me some information to speak to young women.
Okay, yeah. You know what? My wife has all the information. DM her.
All right.
DM her now, and I'll make sure she goes in her DM and answer that.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. I'm sorry about that.
Can she answer those other DMs, too?
Hello, who's this?
B. What's up, baby?
What's up, bro? What, you blessed or you mad this morning, bro?
Oh, no. I'm telling y'all why I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed because it's another beautiful day above ground. Get to go to this job that I love.
There you go.
But it aggravates me. And Charlamagne is the new black Dr. Seuss, man. Give him a drop of
Dr. Seuss.
Man, Charlamagne.
It's not a kid's
Dr.
book.
Dr. Seuss.
What happened?
It's the new black Dr.
Seuss. We talking about Charlamagne here, like, kid's book or any book. Let's get a brother some props for what he did.
It's not no kid's book, man.
New York Times bestseller.
Hey, Charlamagne, let him know. I'm giving you props, kid's book or not. Coloring book, it don't matter.
Hey, thank you, man. It don't matter. It's for the culture, man. The culture is out here buying books. We got people lining up to buy books like they're buying Jordans and Yeezys, man. We out here trying to empower and enlighten people, okay?
Lionel, what up?
Yo, what up, DJ Envy?
Now, what's your AKA, bro?
My AKA is Sir Pretty Toes.
Sir Pretty Toes. Okay.
What's that about?
I didn't know girls was into that.
Trust me, I got a lot of girls that's into that. You actually laughed at my name when I came to your book signing in L.A.
Oh, I do remember you, Sir Pretty Toes. I had to sign your book, Sir Pretty Toes. You're right.
And you signed
Sir
Pretty Toes?
Listen, he bought a copy of my book, Black Privilege, so I could care less what his name was. You
okay.
know what I'm saying?
Well, why you mad this morning? He made fun of your name?
Yeah, I actually am mad at that. I've been calling for a while, could never get through, but I actually wanted to call up and spit some bars for you, too.
Oh, gosh. That's real reason.
Did you enjoy the book, sir?
I'm reading through it now. I'm on the chapter say, F Your Dreams.
There you go. So listen, I want you, look how God works. God wants you to read this chapter right now, and the name of that chapter is F Your Dreams. Therefore, we don't want to hear you rap this morning,
no,
okay?
No, let him rap. Come on, Sir Pretty Toes. Let's hear.
Have a blessed day, Sir Pretty Toes.
Pretty Toes. Hurry up.
All right. Say, hi, I'm Sir Pretty Toes. Wow. Pretty Toes, know what pretty
fart
nose.
Fart on those bars. Fart on those bars. Fart on those bars. Listen, the whole principle in my book, F Your Dreams, is about F Your Dreams if they're not your dreams, okay? And that don't sound like rap should be your dream,
sir. Hi, my name is Pretty Toes. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you can hit us up. Or if you feel blessed, call us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Work up,
morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building.
Yes, sir.
Black Eyed Peas.
Whoa, I didn't know y'all do that.
Come on.
Wow. You know what I always wanted to talk to y'all about, man, because I don't think people discuss it enough. You guys were really signed with Eazy-E back in the day?
Yeah, we signed...
Ruthless.
Yeah, signed Ruthless in 92 when Dre left. Ice Cube obviously left, and he was going around L.A. just getting, like, a bunch of battle MCs to be a part of his writing squad, and me and Apple were signed there for... 92 to 95 when he passed away.
As a group?
Yeah, a different name.
What was the name of the group?
It was called At Band Clan.
Mm-hmm. At Band Clan?
Yeah, it stood for A Tribe Beyond a Nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's always interesting because people see Black Eyed Peas and they think pop group, pop records, but, you know, they don't think, like, Ruthless is hip-hop.
Right. Yeah, so Eazy was a big inspiration as far as, like, his business sense and the things he signed, and he was more than just... a rapper. Mm-hmm. He was an entrepreneur, signed everything from Bone Thugs to Blood Abraham to At Band Clan. Like, why would he want us in the stable? Like, mm-hmm. Why would he go out and see to find, you know, to fill different niches and voids in culture? So at the time in 92, Digable Planets and mm-hmm. all those folks were like, were big. This is before Farside. And we were there on Ruthless. So he just really just expanded, you know, our perspective on, like, what get it means. Like,
how did he sign y'all? Where did he find y'all?
So I was a club in Hollywood called Ballistics, and, you know, I was just battle. Mm-hmm. Just one of those backpack battle rappers, and that's how we got signed. No demo, just freestyle.
Wow. There's no gangster records of Apple and Will I Am, like, hey.
No, but no, you know what? We would go to, like, Eazy-E's gangster functions and have us perform. And it was like the most awkward thing.
Yeah,
you know
how was
I mean?
That?
You know what I mean? We were like, we had like old school, like suits. We cut off the sleeves mm-hmm. and, you know what I mean? We were like thrift store shopping, and it would be at like Eazy-E's functions and performing.
Yeah, he would just be like, yo, freestyle. What's your show him how you freestyle. And so we would just, you know, battle guys.
And then next, Taboo joined the group.
Yeah, so I was part of the family called Grassroots. Mm-hmm. You know, those MCs, B-boys, mm-hmm. musicians,
poets.
Yeah, and we met each other at Ballistics. So it was all these different crews from, you know, Exhibit to Robin Thicke to Leonardo DiCaprio, all these kids. We were teenagers at the time, and not to date myself, mm-hmm. but we were teenagers and we were just loving hip-hop culture.
Right.
So I met Will and Apple back then, and we created this family. And at the time, it was like, you know, we were just trying to do whatever we could to get our name out there and just continue to evolve as MCs and as songwriters.
Yeah, and to us, hip-hop is like, it's multidimensional. So, you know, we do a poor job celebrating the successes and all the different variations of hip-hop. Mm. So hip-hop as an industry, you know, I think could be a lot bigger than it is. When I mean bigger, I'm talking about like billions and billions of dollars bigger. So the first Facebook, the first MySpace was OK Player. Mm. So we forget all those things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, from Kid and Play and MC Hammer, that's hip hop. Those are TV shows. But as an industry, we say, that ain't hip hop. Like hip hop ain't pop. Actually, hip hop is the most popular thing on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So why do we segregate it and right. segment it and all these things like this? You know, prison rap is the only thing we consider hip hop.
Right.
When actuality, that's like a setup in my eyes. That's a setup for how we progress as people. You know, all the different versions of hip hop is hip hop to me.
Do you feel like you had to prove yourself because you were such a big hip hop act that you have to prove yourself to the quote unquote hip hop realists and hip hop lyricists?
No, you don't do that. That's
recipe for failure, if you ask me.
Yeah, you don't do that. I mean, although I love it, right? You know, real recognizes real. So, you know, I'll produce and do beats, write hooks, and get in the studio, chop it up, and see the Ghost Riders, battle their Ghost Riders. I know all the different things. So from that, like, as far as your career, that sabotage for yourself as far as, like, always trying to get that stamp of approval from folks.
But we had to prove ourselves to the record companies because... you know, we were inspired by, like, Tribe, Boogie Down,
And in L.A. was predominantly, like, gangster music. You know, we shop our demos and stuff. And it's like, yo, I don't know, this kind of, like, on the left, is it tangible?
Right.
And we had to, like, prove ourselves and just kept on doing shows all over L.A.
And not only that, I mean, App came from the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So Filipino and black. You know,
no, we're on Rufus Records. So you don't really know that much English.
So you don't know that much English.
Wow.
And here I am, a Native American Mexican kid from East LA, mm-hmm. and Will came from the project. So we came together for the love of hip hop.
Mm.
B-boying, MCing, graffiti, DJing, we encompassed that. No matter what color it was the frequency was hip hop.
Mm. I want to go back to something Will said because it really makes a lot of sense, man. I do feel like we cannibalize each other a lot in hip hop. Like when you denounce a Hammer, denounce a Kid and Play. Like anybody that was successful back in the day, it seemed like we would denounce.
Right. Yeah.
Which kind of, you know, it stifled the genre. The genre could have been way bigger a long time ago.
I think it was planned that way. The trickery is down even to the things that we celebrate and call our own. So as soon as like some, it's like a parent hating their successful child.
Mm.
And, you know, that's just all part of the conditioning as us as a people.
That's why I say you got to salute Eazy-E because he saw that.
Mm.
He saw that, you know, it could be bigger. We can scratch the genre.
Yeah. Eazy-E, thank you for, you know, and little Eazy, appreciate your father so much. He, you know, really inspired me as a businessman. And then going from there to Jimmy with just the path from Dre and Eazy to us, from Eazy to Jimmy I don't know, that to me is serendipitous.
Do you have any conspiracy theories on Eazy's death since?
I mean, every birthday from 92, 93, 94, 95, he would call me on my birthday and we would go to Monty's, which is right off of Canoga. So the first Calabasas guy was Eazy. You know, so all these rappers that live out in Calabasas, Eazy started all that.
Mm.
And so birthday, March 18th, 1995, he's like, yo, I'm in the hospital. I got bronchitis. I'll be out in a couple of days. I have my theories on it, but I don't. I think he was administered it. I don't think he had that.
Oh, you think somebody injected it in him?
Injected into.
Yeah.
Mm. He's such an unsung hero, though. That's why I like to get as much Eazy. Nobody discusses Eazy like they should.
As much as we should.
If Eazy was still alive, hip hop, our heroes that we have now wouldn't be around. Because Tupac wasn't in the past. Tupac didn't pass. Biggie wasn't in the past. So those two cats still being in the game, you know, the Giants today wouldn't be the Giants today.
Mm.
All right, we got more with Black Eyed Peas. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, we are The Breakfast Club. Black Eyed Peas is in the building. Charlamagne?
I've always liked y'all group because it represents what America could be as far as, like, diversity. Because, like, three different people from three totally different backgrounds.
Yep.
How the hell do y'all get together? Like,
yeah, but a quick synopsis. So I was adopted from the Philippines, and my adopted father was roommate with Will's uncle.
No, my uncle was roommate with your dad.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
So my uncle was homeless, and... Apple's dad. You know those programs, just 25 cents a day will help feed this child?
Yeah.
Apple's one of those kids.
You actually got that really? Money? I never donated because I didn't think y'all really got the money.
I didn't know that really worked.
Yeah, it did.
I never saw you on a commercial.
Yeah, and you receive the support, and then you take a photo of all the items and tuition fees for school, and you get to write a thank you letter. And
what kind of food was it?
No, so they give you like $20 a month, and then you buy your own food supplies, and then you take a photo and receipts, and then you submit it to the foundation.
Yeah, so he comes from one of those programs, and then my mom in the projects was like the mom that took care of everybody's kids. So when my uncle was like at a low point, Apple's dad, Mr. Hudgens, is like this like angel dude, right? So I don't know who does that.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsors a child, meets a stranger, lets him stay in the house until he gets stable. Brings his son like, yo, I'm going to bring my son to America so he could have a better opportunity for education. My uncle's like, I know somebody that could take care of your son while you enroll him in the school. That person was my mom.
Mm,
and so from that point, like, dude didn't know English. And in the projects, it was like around the time when you're 16 when, you know, the big homies, you know, is you know, tossing stuff to the little homies to hold. And
drugs, ladies and gentlemen, so, drugs.
So I was, you know, it was around that time, and my mom was strict, so I hung out with App, and he didn't know English, and hip hop was the thing that we're dancing and battling folks was the thing that we had in common.
Wow.
Did you listen to hip hop in the Philippines at all?
Yeah. So I'm from a village, and then when I went to school in the city, I started discovering like JJ Fad, NWA, and break dancing.
Wow.
And you know, nobody really knows, but I'm like legally blind. And once
you blind right now?
Huh?
You blind right now?
Yes. Close enough. After 10 feet, I'd be like, damn, App is conceited. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they come up to me like, yo Tap,
I always see her at clubs, and she always like, App,
it's me, n***.
That's true, you?
I'm like, oh, yeah.
You guys, he's legally blind.
I never knew
that's
that.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
And
you're the original POP.
Yeah, for real, like, yeah. So, yeah.
So when did y'all decide to put a female in the group?
So we always had a girl in the crew. So whether it was Macy Gray or Estero.
Macy Gray was a member of the Black Eyed Peas?
Yeah, so we would tour L.A., and when she was coming up, we were coming up at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Black Eyed Peas. The building was like Black Eyed Peas, Ozzy Motley, Macy Gray. That was like, you know, who would be touring the colleges or, you know, different like bar circuits. And our whole vision was to like own California.
Right.
Like if we can't own California colleges, then we should just give up. And Macy Gray was a part of that, was part of that circuit with us. Ozzy Motley, Black Eyed Peas, Macy Gray.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was down doing hooks with us, singing songs, writing songs with us. Then we had this girl named Estero.
I remember Estero.
Yeah, on weekends, like the original Canadian thing. So we would go to Canada, rock with like Estero back. This is like 97, 98, 99. And then 2000, we were rocking heavily with, and through the whole thing, there was this girl named Kim Hill that was like in the with the Peas, toured with the Peas.
She was part of that song Joints and Jams in the video.
Right.
Yeah. And then so
she was the one I always associate as being the first woman in Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we always had girls in the crew. And then we have met Fergie and Nicole in the same day at some like radio concert, like, you know, like the Wango Tangos, those big things.
And Nicole Scherzinger.
What's Nicole's last name?
I can never pronounce her name.
Scherzinger.
The Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah, so we met her in the same. She was in a group called Eden's Crush. Fergie was in a group called Wild Orchid. And we met him backstage. And
flipped the coin?
So we just met at the same time. And so I started, you know, working on music because they both wanted to go solo. So I did Fergie's like demo package, what she called it. And I was gonna help her shop. And I took it to Puffy, I took it to Pharrell. And then Jimmy walks in as I'm playing the music for Pharrell. And he was like, come over here. You know, it's hard to sell the girls music. You know, there's too many girls in the industry. We're having a hard time with, you know, the artists we have on the label. Why don't you, you know.
I'm just seeing defiant ones. That sounds just like Jimmy.
Why don't you put her in the group and sign her to your label? I was like, I don't have a label. He was like, now you do.
And I was like, wow. Now, wow. That's interesting. Mm. So Nicole wasn't technically going to be a replacement for Fergie. That was like kind of like an original thing that was going to happen anyway, maybe.
So the thing was, we had, before we met, so in that meeting with Nicole and Fergie in Minnesota in 2002, January, we were like, yo, Nicole, you should rock with us. She had a boyfriend, this dude named Nick Hexum.
311.
311. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no.
Wow.
She was like, well, my boyfriend doesn't want me to let me join the group.
He's insecure.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, hey, who's going to send a girl on a, you know, on tour with a bunch of dudes?
He worried about y'all. He should have been worried about Jimmy. 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 I'm just saying.
We don't know anything about it.
Yeah, so that didn't happen. And then Fergie was like just always coming to the studio. One thing about Ferg, like, she would just always come to the studio and be there with us while we were doing Elefunk. It was done. The record was finished when Jimmy was like, put her in the group. I'm like, Jimmy, the record's finished. We're done. He was like, figure it out. Call me later. And that was that. So we had to figure it out. Like, yo, guys, what are we going to do with this opportunity here? You know, and at the time, you know, Steve Stout was the head of black music at Interscope. Mm-hmm. So Steve Stout would be like, you know, Will, problem with you is you're a selfish rapper. I'm like, what? Remember this video? He was like, problem with you, you're a selfish rapper. I was like, but I don't smoke weed. And you want me to say, because the song was like, smoke machines and laser rays. He's like, what the fuck is a smoke machine? And what the fuck is laser rays? I'm like,
that's not like
you know, it's smoke machine in the club.
Yeah, it's all the fog.
He was like, listen, you should say smoking trees and getting paid.
Oh my God.
I was like, Stout, but I don't smoke. That's your problem. You're fucking selfish. And you only think about
that could have applied to him too, because he was only thinking about what he knew.
Yeah. So every time I love Stout. At the time, so I was like, yo, Jimmy, like, can you put us over here with Ron Fair? He was like, Will, what the f*** does Ron Fair know about hip-hop? I was like, nothing. And that's the point. I'd rather be over here with somebody who's not going to stifle us mm-hmm. in a form of hip-hop and not, you know, see all the other versions. Maybe the other versions ain't selling right now, but that doesn't mean that, you know, it's going to stay that way forever.
Visionary.
I'd rather go over here with Ron Fair. All right, if that's what you want to do. So we went from Interscope to A&M. Mm-hmm. And with them, we had, like, freedom to express and flex and just dream as big as possible.
All right, we got more with Black Eyed Peas when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Black Eyed Peas are in the building. Now, you guys did a new comic book.
And Fergie said she would love to be a part of it, but...
Oh, yeah, so Master of the Sun, we wrote that... We've been writing that for the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. The thesis of the story is, you know, takes place in 1980. Hip-hop is bubbling out the Bronx. And the star of the world that we built is Zulu X and the Blastmasters. They travel into L.A. They run into Crips and Bloods. And they realize they're feuding on where they're selling a certain type of drug. And they're trying to get the Crips and the Bloods to stop selling it because it's turning... you know, the community into, you know, zombies. So what we did was we over-exaggerated on crackheads to zombies by borrowing from things that actually happened. So in doing that, we had to go to KRS and ask KRS for his blessing to call him the crew, the Blastmasters.
Mm.
So when they get to, that thickness with the Bloods and the Crips on asking them to cease to stop selling this drug, they asked who the supplier was, and they realized that it's a shape-shifting alien mm-hmm. who's been, you know, divisive and in the African American community from slavery.
The white man.
to killing of Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and taking a part of the Black Panther Party, and now it's on its way to poison the hip hop community. And And in the book, it's amazing. There's this section in the book where he was like, and this time the black man would enslave themselves.
Mm.
So it's an amazing, it pulls on what's actually going on in the world, but then, like, you know, heightens it with, like, awesome, you know, myth, Egyptology.
I love the fact that the messaging, too, because messaging is very important. Like, y'all are delivering messages through your art.
Right.
And, like, you know, where is the love? You know, I look around at this climate and ask myself that constantly. You know, what do you think can be done to make people feel more love in this climate?
Yeah, so the weird thing is, like, with all the things that are happening right now, there's not that many artists that are speaking on the times. So they're very few, given the amount of people that have access to be able to reach, right? So everyone has the ability to put stuff on SoundCloud and YouTube. But it seems as if, like, those types of messages, those types of songs don't work, and they don't work on purpose. And so, you know, to Kendrick Lamar's, thank you. J. Cole's, thank you for doing your part and for y'all's generation. But if this was an era, it would be like the 50s. So the 50s and the 40s, they didn't really talk about the war and the times. Like, there was Wap Baba Loo Baba, Wham Bam Boo, Tutti Frutti. There was Littles, a whole bunch of Little Richard, Lil Walker.
So. He's not gay no more, by the way, he said. Oh, Little Richard.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I saw him do an interview a couple of days ago.
He's happy.
Yeah.
but love, like, love for some reason is like a weak thing, when really it's the strongest thing, right? So we just do our part, and this book right here is like, to us, love. It's like a different way of saying, writing those types of records.
You said the music is designed that way. It's designed, not the work, like the positive music. Why do you think that is?
I really think there is like a higher working on a frequency level to keep us chasing nothing.
Negativity.
And nothing is worth money, right? Mm-hmm. Writing songs, like, don't get me wrong, we wrote songs like Boom Boom Pow really ain't about nothing, right? Mm-hmm. That I'm not saying that everything that we do is super conscious. That's not real. But for some reason, nothing pays. And substance is risky.
Right.
And substance is hard to get over. Substance is people ain't really spitting substance.
A lot of people say West Coast gangster rap had a lot to do with that, though. Because if you look at what the East Coast was doing at that time, the Public Enemies, KRS-One, the records like Self-Destruction, and then you had the West Coast come with the gangsters.
Well,
I mean,
N.W.A. had to Express Yourself. Right. So, I mean, that was kind of like the...
No, but it's
Death Row.
Okay, you're talking about that era.
So there's a part of Defiant Ones when Jimmy was like, I don't know if I'm protecting free speech or supporting Hamas. Mm. That part of the documentary was like, so happy he spoke on that, because in reality, it's like prison commercials, right? And if you think of like, who owns prisons, they're privatized. You could own a prison. And if you think of the folks that are like occupying prisons, it's like blacks and Latins.
The Black Eyed Peas, basically.
You can pick up the book at Amazon.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Yeah. What is the book?
It's out now. It's on Amazon.
And Amazon.
And natives.
Now they can send this book. They can send this book to jail too, because they get comments in jail now too, right?
Right. Yeah.
So you think there is? Because Minister Fracon always spoke on that. He spoke on that there was a correlation between the private prison industry and the record labels to purposely dumb down the black and brown community and make them gravitate toward discreet life through music.
I believe that's true. Making it to where we just disconnect ourselves from anything that, that obviously looks different than that. So the fact that hip hop in its popular sense doesn't see Black Eyed Peas as hip hop, that was designed.
Mm.
That's by design.
Well, we appreciate you guys.
Oh, man, I can talk to them forever, man. We got
Masters of Sun.
Yes, Apple.
The comic, you can pick it up right now.
Yes, salute to Apple, salute to Taboo, salute to Wyclef Jean, the Black Eyed Peas. We appreciate y'all for coming.
I told you. What did I say, dude? He was going to buy a car. What you think Charlamagne going to do? I was like, look. He's probably going to do like a low blow. He's probably going to say, here's what he's going to say.
He went low and high.
No, but they called him. You remember when they called you Wyclef on scene?
No, so check this out.
They mistook you for Wyclef.
One time, they used to call me Wyclef ever since our first tour in 1998, Smoking Grooves. So in my head, it was like, the day that they call Wyclef Will, I made it.
Right.
So anyways, make a long story short, it's 2015. I'm in New York. We're doing Central Park. And Wyclef's like, yo, Will, let me introduce you to my daughter. And she was like, oh, can you take a picture of my daughter? I was like, of course, Wyclef. And so the daughter says, Dad, you do look like Will.i.am. I'm like, yo, I did it.
There you have it. It's the Black Eyed Peas. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Now, hold on. I'm super excited for this one.
Yes.
Because my girl SZA is here.
The side chick Zigzag Ziggala. That's her name.
Oh, my God. It's so crazy. First of all, into the mic, I know exactly what song you're talking about.
There's a couple of them.
The whole album?
No, just one.
A lot of the album.
Just one. First off, have you never had a side chick?
Of course.
What are you talking about?
I've had a few.
Also, did she know that she was a side chick?
Yes.
Okay, that's a different thing. That's not true. Don't know that.
No. Did they all know they were side chicks?
Aren't you married?
Yeah, now, when you're okay. talking about, I've been alive a long time.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
But, you know, I listened to the album, and I feel like the album represents for the girl who is dating a guy who has another girl. But like most side chicks do, they catch feelings.
And what song?
And then they
want
to be the main girl.
What song? You talk about Weekend?
The Weekend.
The Weekend's on there, yeah.
What else?
I don't remember the names of it.
That's it? Yeah. That's the only one?
No, it seemed like it's more than that.
And it seemed like
you... connected to that, because that's the life you live in.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm not going to lie, though. The Weekend is a standout song on there, though.
It is.
Like, I really did. I was listening to it, and I really loved it, and I was tweeting about it, and now I'm doing a side chick playlist for Tidal because of the song.
Wait, can I explain this real quick?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm actually saying in the song is my man is your man. Mm-hmm. Like, we all share the same dude, saying that I'm aware, I don't care, I don't need to be his girl. Like, not even saying that you're his girl, saying that none of us are his girl. All of us are just out here trying to get different things for different reasons. And my particular reason is just get here and do what you said you was going to do.
You just want some penis on Friday and Saturday.
On this particular song.
Right.
Okay. On weekends.
On this particular song.
Weekend's the best part of the week.
I think it's like taking the power back. Because mm-hmm. it's like, women just are supposed to do something but like cry and feel weird and like, oh my God, like I don't have no, like he's not my man, I have separate, it's just, it doesn't matter. Just enjoy your life, focus on what's important to you. If you want to kick it with him, kick it with him. If you don't, move on. Like it's right. not a big, it doesn't have to be a thing.
So it's not about Pickens being slim out here when it's it comes just, to men.
It's just about comfortability. It's just about like being confident in yourself because if you, I think most men don't tell women you're not my only one.
Oh, no, that's how you get in trouble. You got to be honest from up top.
I think you have a rare knack for honesty.
Mm-hmm.
I think most men do not possess that. Not even most men, just human beings in general. Like, I would be scared and nervous to admit the things that I feel out loud, maybe in a one-on-one room, like, with a dude, but on wax, it's a lot different. Like, I can come clean about all kind of things. So, I don't know. It's like that.
Men kind of have a don't ask, don't tell policy.
Hell
right.
no, man.
If you don't, ask them.
Well, she was telling me a story.
No, I'm saying if you don't ask them a specific question, they're not going to volunteer information.
I'm telling you off top, I got a woman. I've been with my woman 19 years. I'm letting you know from the start. I mean,
used to,
yeah. I'm letting you know this? From the beginning.
But I feel like if, like for certain people, like, people will be like, well, you didn't ask him if he had kids. You didn't ask him if he was married.
How
like,
you hide your kids?
You can't hide your kids.
You shouldn't even give a to a man to hide your kids.
People just don't tell you. Have you ever had a guy not tell you he had kids or not tell you?
I low-key don't feel like I have dated enough dudes with kids. Mm-hmm. I've maybe dated, like, one dude with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Like, it was very... I love kids, so I'm not the person that you have to hide kids from. I'm always just like, let's all play. Like, let's all go somewhere, but... I don't know. No.
After this album, right, I listened to the album. I felt like you needed a hug. Like you feel
oh,
like,
no.
Who hurt SZA?
Yeah, I feel like you got so much on
no,
your
seriously,
soul.
No, seriously, who hurt SZA, man?
I was like, I got to give her a
4 years worth of names. No, I just... I'm exasperated. No, I just... It's really just... I never really talked about, like, relationships in a direct way. We used to be very metaphorical, very figurative, very, mm-hmm. like... kind of scared like to talk about the way I felt in a literal way or like very directly, and I think all these relationships that I'm talking about are over.
Did you feel like you needed a man for approval? Because in some of the songs it felt like you were looking for approval,
like supermodel,
like my ass say my ass looks bigger, you know?
Yes,
like, it feels like you
I think
approval.
All women are it's I think from the person that it's like it's weird, you could be this hella confident person, but if the one person that you want to find you beautiful doesn't find you beautiful, it kind of doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it just negates all these things, even though all these things are still true. Like, you're still beautiful, you're still gnarly. Like, I've been thick, I've been thin, I've had ass, I've lost ass. And I felt, like, insecure in the process of losing weight and losing booty, but, like, you love me, you're my friend, so, mm-hmm. like, lie to me for today. And then tomorrow you can come clean and be like, okay, but for real.
Did you have a guy that was, like, all into you when you was, like, bigger?
And
like,
yes.
he was, like, he was kind of making you feel bad about being bigger, but then when you lost the weight, he still tried to, like, play mind games with you?
No. Actually, I am blessed to have dealt with real niggas. That's crazy. Like, when I was bigger, I was actually mad at my man because he didn't tell me.
Yeah.
How did you miss that? Like, but it's more so...
Well, he loved you regardless. He didn't care
exactly.
how big you were.
And that was the key. And I think it's more so the way you see yourself, because, you know, we don't see the world as it is. We see it as we are. So mm-hmm. I felt fat. I felt ugly. I felt undeserving. So I would look... for things and like probably like dig in places that there weren't any things to be, you know, to be dug up.
So what happened to him?
The record
so you don't know
what song on the album is about that guy?
I don't know, all of them.
First of all, the album's dope.
Thank you. Really dope. From you, that means a lot.
No, it's really dope.
Thank you.
But you keep repeating, do you even know I'm alive?
Yeah.
It sounds like you're trying to get someone's attention.
Yeah. So I feel like over the last 4 years, I haven't been just doing music. I've been burying friends, family, like burying family members, burying weight, the way I feel about myself, the way I feel about the world, the way I feel about God, the way I process information. Like, I don't know. I felt like trapped in myself and then around my friends and then around like guys. Like, I couldn't explain it. It was weird. It was like I felt very invisible around very many people.
So that's why you said, do you even know I'm alive? So you're talking to a whole bunch of people.
Most of this album is me talking to me. Like, I'm singing from the girlfriend and from the other perspective. Like, I've been the girlfriend that didn't know, and I've been the girl that didn't know that you had a girlfriend.
Mm.
So it's like, I don't know. It's like, you just got to sing from different points of view, like, from where your mind is at. Like,
different sure experiences you had.
Exactly. Like,
did Top Dog Entertainment have anything to do with that? Would you feeling like you're not alive because they wouldn't give you a release date?
Oh, my God. No. Okay. So TD is very...
You did wake up one day and kind of bug out on him just a little bit.
I did.
Yeah. What happened? Explain.
I did.
She just woke up one day and was like, I don't know if you said you wanted off the label or you like, when is my album coming out? Like,
it was nighttime. Yeah. I was up all day.
But you know, I will say this. This is
I was conscious. I made a full-blown decision.
How soon did you regret that? What drove you to that?
I'm just hella childish. And I think when I just get caught up in some, like, depending on what it is, like, I don't know. Like, I just felt very overwhelmed. I felt like the pressure. It's like halfway through, I felt like people were expecting something from me. And that was also the day I watched somebody, like, pass away for the first time. It was really crazy.
So were you emotional that day?
I was hella emotional. I was hella over it. And then I'm also a Scorpio, which should just, like, just add that
shit up. So who called you first after you put that out there? Who was the first call that you got?
Oh. That's how I think nobody even called me, because I think they were just like... But also, like, is she wilding? Like, is she okay? Or I think everyone just assumed that I was wilding, I was going to be fine. But
nobody hit you?
No, I talked, of course, Top. Like, outside of the obvious. Like, right. I spoke to Top, I spoke to Dot, I spoke to Punch that night. And I don't know, I think they didn't even say anything. They just listened to me.
Right. Right. And that's all you need sometimes, somebody to listen.
Yeah.
All right, we got more with SZA when we come back. We got to talk the album some more. Her catching her boyfriend having an orgy. And did she cheat back on him? We'll find out about all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have SZA in the building. Of course, she signed to TDE. Now, Yee?
Now, think about when you first signed to TDE and how you are now.
Yeah.
There was a lot of artist development for you. So
what does artist development actually mean?
I mean, it means to
there
me
you
that like
tell
you put out, you put out.
No, I really don't know. I've always wanted to know, but I feel like I can ask you because it's
right. You know, because like even just the way that you dress, the way that you present yourself, the confidence that you have, just even your music from early on and how it progressed to now, you being able to open up and be honest about your experiences.
Like at this table with y'all again. I just thought that was
That's artist development. Even just writing for other people.
I don't agree with that. Still, I think you just grow. I think you just grow as a human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think anybody at TDE could teach you how to be a woman.
Not that they teach you, but I think sometimes people want to sign people that they're ready to put out right now. They already have everything ready. And for you, it was more like you discovering yourself. And people need time to do that. And it is time to grow.
I commend my label because they didn't know that I needed time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I gained weight and lost weight and stopped lotioning and started lotioning.
What?
And like, decided to comb my hair. I'm not combing my hair.
What?
I'm getting braces. I'm not getting braces. Like, just went through mad different phases of wilding out. Like, just being me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think they just supported me every time.
I'm not giving you a release date neither if you're an ashy woman.
Why?
Like, you can put up with some ashy but a girl cannot be sitting in the studio ashy.
You're crazy.
Now she exfoliates and she does.
I do exfoliate a little bit.
What made you not want to use lotion?
No, but I don't know if I don't want to. It's just like it looks like an extra five whole minutes.
For real, but you just use lotion.
I now use body oil and hemp oil and coconut oil and lots of oils and shea butter, but still not every day. Like I can't. It's still like a task. Like it takes like 5 whole minutes to get your whole body. Because first of all, okay.
This is funny.
If you think about humectants and the way that those work, you got to lotion while you wet, so that you like keep the moisture in.
Right.
But it's like now I got to air dry, and it's like this is now 15 minutes into my. I gotta go. So now I'm not lotioning.
Well,
I'm
here. Expect that from a woman. You know women have to take a little bit of extra time to get ready.
No. No, if I was 15 minutes late, you would say.
I'd rather you take the time to put lotion on your elbows.
I'm unlotioned and I'm on time.
Now let's talk about the sound of this album. You said you changed the sound of this album. And listen to the album. There's nothing like this album out that I've heard in a while. Oh, so why did you? What made you change the sound of the album and why?
I don't think I consciously changed the sound. I think I just didn't know what my sound was. Like, I didn't know who I was or what I wanted to make sonically or what I was trying to achieve or what I was attracted to sonically. Like, I think music was like a separate entity and then I was just over here being me, but I didn't know how to conjoin the two or like merge me into the way that I process music. So when you turn down all the reverb and all the plugins and all the stacks and all these things, like, you're left just with your voice and your thoughts, and then now you kind of have to say something. You don't have to say anything, but you have to mean it. So mm-hmm.
The easiest thing to say is the truth.
Yeah.
You, on Supermodel, you said you've
Supermodel's
been.
Dope.
You said you've
Thank
been
you.
Secretly banging your dude's homeboy.
Oh my God, this
on
is not
Valentine's
the interview
Day?
That I was supposed to. First of all, I was supposed to go through all these songs in a very tender, safe place. And now I feel attacked.
No, we really don't
deserve
it.
I didn't come up with any explanation.
I respect the honesty. I respect the truthfulness.
No,
I'm not
joking,
judging.
I don't feel attacked. I wrote the.
But you said you've been secretly banging your dude's homeboy?
Yeah. It's a true story?
On Valentine's Day?
It was. It happened once.
I hope so.
Tell it. You got to tell this story.
He had an orgy in Vegas, and his mans called me and told me.
So his man was hating on him.
Kind of. I don't know if his man was hating on him as much as his man was comfortable with me. Like, I was friends with his friends. Like, his friends were like my sons.
What? No, that's foul.
So they felt like, but they told me on some,
wait,
like.
Did you say his friends were like your sons?
Yes. It was like an accident. Like, cause you know, it was like, if you like, if I'm nurturing, right?
Hold on
now. So your man's homeboy called you to tell you that your man was having
but
an orgy.
But it ain't come out like that.
And you rewarded him with.
No. Oh, that's not who she slept with. Ew, that would be so terrible.
He was in Vegas.
That's a man.
Doing that.
I did not sleep with the boy that told me.
Did
that,
he sleep with the snitch?
Right.
Okay. He's snitch. He's foul. You shouldn't trust him.
Oh.
No,
in hindsight. I'm pretty sure I can't trust any of them.
And he told on him. You can't trust
him. You can't trust none of them.
So who'd you sleep with?
That's kind of the bottom line. That's where
all of them can't be trusted.
So it was this boy that I, just like a boy that I liked and I've been seeing and we had like been kind of talking and like, I wasn't giving him any play because I liked my boyfriend. Yeah. And
as you should, right?
I wanted him to like me. And then he just didn't, on Valentine's Day, he like aimed me with a it was crazy. He aimed me, didn't call me, didn't text me. He aimed me on top of the orgy phone call.
Oh, so you was
from
like,
the night pop. So I'm just like, I'm
bull,
don't like,
use aim anymore.
It was crazy. Well, this was back in the, this is all old also too. Like,
right.
Yeah, of course. In the words of Ghostface, you don't get a man back like that though. Like, you can't sleep
with
another
man. Oh, I know better.
It wasn't
intentional. Yeah. It was just now. It's
happened.
The song is more intentional than the action.
Right. You were vulnerable at the time.
Exactly. I was mad as hell on some Scorpio shit quite long ago. Mm-hmm. I would never wish that on me.
Did you tell him? Did you tell the guy?
No, but y'all just did. So.
Yeah. Oh, so he don't even know about this.
The album's not out yet.
First of all, most of the people that I've dated are so arrogant. They would never even assume that this is about them. They'd be like, must be about
someone. No, they're so arrogant they're gonna think it is about them.
No, jeez. Absolutely not. They'd be like, I know she ain't talking about me because she would never trip on me like that or whatever.
Now, the dude who smashed on Valentine's Day definitely gonna say something.
He's the most arrogant. He'll be like, I wonder what got. Who that? Like, I wonder. Like, it's definitely, and that's it, I'm sure.
How was that orgy called? What he called and said, hey, your man's here doing the orgy. Like, how was that?
Oh my God.
Like,
yo, it slipped out. It was an accident.
It does not slip out.
Yeah, that don't know
what he was doing.
I think he was definitely on something as well. So he was in a very good mood. And that's how that happened. And I was like, oh, wow,
it's
crazy. So crazy. It's like an amazing time. Like,
have you ever cheated, SZA?
You talk about it throughout the album. Yes.
Oh, no. Yes, but I feel like if a dude is not treating you as his girl, if he's, who knows if he's claiming you in every circle?
If he's having orgies.
Who knows if he's having orgies?
He's having orgies.
Who knows if he's even considering you in the same way that you're seeing him as a man? Who, like, you're not his girl in his brain. So did I cheat on anyone? Because you didn't have a girl.
Is that
you
how
were
you rationalize
that
it?
Looks at
yeah.
it.
If I was
you
trying
telling
to say
people,
that as a man,
you told,
like,
you told everyone you didn't have a girl.
Who?
And you told me you didn't have a girl. No, that's your guilt talking again. I wasn't talking to you. I wasn't talking to you.
When did I say that?
No. I would never. No.
Are you seeing somebody now?
Huh?
For the sake of this album, no.
Lord knows. No, I I was trying to explain what my seeing someone situation I'm learning about myself, I'm learning about. And honestly, I think I was in a lot of these unhealthy relationships because I didn't have enough self-love, like, built up. Mm-hmm. So, and I found when I fixed the way I felt about myself, like, these situations didn't happen to me anymore. Like, I haven't dealt with a trife dude in so long. Mm-hmm. Like, in so long. And I'm super blessed and grateful for that. But I don't know, I'm just chilling.
You can't trust guys at this point in your career, though.
No, because, absolutely.
Because you're sexy
not.
Now. You done got all sexy and glowed up on them.
You.
You got an album coming out. People know you about to blow. Somebody out here gonna try to trap you.
I cannot. I simply cannot.
Now, I like
I'm untrappable.
You're untrappable. All right, you say that so somebody accidentally took that condom off.
Oh.
Now, listen. I like,
You were classy for like 40 minutes. And I was like, wow, this is going so well. It's crazy.
All right, we got more with SZA. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We are The Breakfast Club. We have SZA in the building. Of course, she's signed to TDE, home of Kendrick Lamar and Schoolboy Q. Now, Charlamagne?
Is it true you stopped wearing your hijab after 9/11? You used to wear hijab?
That is semi-true. Yes.
I read that somewhere.
No, yeah, so my parents, my mother's Christian and my father's Muslim. Mm-hmm. So I would wear my hijab whenever. Like, my mom was very supportive. Like, I went to Muslim prep school on Fridays. I went to Juma with my dad. And I felt very, my dad kind of ran my household. So that's just kind of the way everybody went. But I still would go to church with my mom every other Sunday or et cetera, because my dad is understanding and a human being. Mm-hmm. I don't know, when 9/11 happened, it was just like kids were very, like...
cruel, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they were very sure about the way that they felt mm-hmm. about me or about the religion or about Islam or, like, the idea. And as kids, they thought it was, like, a very separate thing. Like, you don't believe in God, you believe in Allah, when, like, the exact... it's literally the translation. Like, it just means God.
That's it.
It's another word. It pains me to see all this, like, Islamophobia growing and, like, snowballing... and all the bandwagoning, because I know the damage that can, like, really cause. And where that comes from, it comes from a place of ignorance and fear, not mm-hmm. from a place of, I don't even know. You don't, nobody wants to be that hateful or that, but nobody wants to be that scared either. So it's just like, I don't know.
Did it affect you in a way? Because you was kind of choosing, like, I guess fear over faith?
Yeah. Yes. A lot of things, it's weird, like religion when you're young versus religion when you're older. It's shaped by your parents, the relationship with the mm-hmm. church, the people in the church, et cetera. Like, and when I say church, I mean any denomination that right. has a congregation. It took me a long time to, like, fall out of fear and, like, kind of fall into faith. But it's weird. I got into Christianity afterwards to learn. And not because I was afraid of Islam, but just because I spent, like, a lot of my childhood running from, like, the issues with my dad, and that represented Islam at the time for me, and plus 9/11, plus everything else. It was just like, I just want to try something else. Like, I just want to, like, mm-hmm. be a different person.
What issues did you have with your dad?
My dad is very stern. My dad is very stern, and he doesn't mince words, and he doesn't renege on things that he says. And sometimes, you know, I don't know. I think my dad was just growing at the same... my parents were growing at the same time that I was growing, and I'm sure they wanted more for me. Initially, they were afraid that I wouldn't have enough or that I wouldn't be enough. And I don't know. I think my dad was just... I get it. He was really going hard on some whole other shit, but I'm not afraid of anything.
Stern, protective dad. Didn't want you in the music industry.
It wasn't the music industry that he didn't want. It was more so he wanted me to do something with my life. Mm-hmm. And he felt like he wasn't sure if being in music was, like, doing something with my life. But
now he is.
Yeah, he's down. He's good. So, and he calls me. He's like, I like this song. I love it. I'm like, thanks. He's going to be mad when he hear the whole album now.
Uh-oh. Yes, he is.
Oh, no. He's going to be like, I'm singing about me and from my perspective in every song.
No, don't try to switch it up because okay. Daddy might be watching.
You think they're going to ask you questions? You think they're going to talk to you about it and ask you questions since you said your mom never really addressed certain things about relationships?
It's funny. My mom is now, like, when I do talk to her about, like, men and the way I feel now, and she's very, like, she wants me to just be patient and, like, be loving and understanding, but also, like, not take no
control.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
When I first think about control, like, the computer key, I think about sneaking up into my parents' attic to wait for the dial-up to, like, work, even though I'm banned from the phone and banned from the computer. Like,
you might be 30, SZA. You make a lot of old references.
Dial-up AOL?
Dial-up AOL.
You never had AOL in AIM?
How old you? You might be over 30.
You're crazy. I'm 26.
26?
If I was, literally, there's Twitter and AIM and Instagram. All that came in the same of my lifetime. So, like, I was here before Twitter. I was here before real internet, like, before it was, like, a whole worldwide web. And
she was just young at the time.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I was just on Juno and, like, Googling random things. Like, that's what any of us were doing on the internet back then. It's not shit else to look at. Like, let me just Google what else this look like.
Bang Bros.
What's that?
Don't listen to him.
That's a porn site that he used to
Bang Bros. Great. I used to ride around in that little van and just walk up to random girls and try to get them to have sex.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it was
great.
Huh?
That's terrible.
No.
No.
That's what you want
to
watch?
They used to ask.
Roll up in a creepy van and ask women for sex.
Little girls in the van.
Okay.
But did you control?
I'm sorry.
Did you explain control?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Control
is a concept. It's just I've just lacked control in my whole life, and I think I've craved it my whole life, and I couldn't really arrive at it. And now I'm not really looking to arrive at it anymore. I'm just happy to be present. And there's no such thing as control anyway. It's just a concept. It's a word. It's a fantasy.
That's real.
But if you focus on controlling, like, the way you feel in the now and what you do with the now, I feel like it leads to having true control in the future.
Well, we like watching you figure it out. The album is really dope. I'm not just saying that. It's a really good album.
Thank you.
Really great album.
And we appreciate you.
You should
for
be proud
us.
Of yourself, SZA.
There we go.
Yes.
All right. Well, there you have it. It's SZA. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey.
Yeehaw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Now, The Breakfast Club is in 80-plus markets in 150 countries, so we have a lot of new listeners who probably don't even know who Charlamagne Tha God is. So use my time off to catch up on some of my past work, okay? Okay. If you're new here, I do a segment every day called Donkey of the Day, donkey as in jackass, and that's when I give someone the credit they deserve for being stupid. So if you never heard of it, this is new to you, but if you are a regular listener, then this is an oldie but goodie because it's the best of the Donkey of the Day. Donkey of the Day goes to
Chanel West Coast. You know Chanel West Coast, and I had a little encounter earlier this year on MTV's Ridiculousness. Let's hear it in case you're not familiar.
My only strategy is just to tell the truth. It's like whatever I said about you, I'm going to say to you, and I'm going to continue to say it to you regardless of how mad you get.
But just because you say something doesn't make it the truth.
I told her she was whack rapping one time.
Yeah.
Have y'all ever heard her rap?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good for the people that said no.
Well, no. Who co-signed Drake and Nicki Minaj is the same person who co-signed me. I won a BET award with Young Money. I got songs with French Montana, YG, Ty Dolla $ign, Snoop Dogg. Mind you, I did a song with Snoop Dogg after getting into a verbal argument with him because he respected me so much after I spoke my mind to him. He still came back and did a song with me.
Why are you talking with your hands?
You don't know my musical track record, bro. Sorry.
Okay.
I can't be funny today because he doesn't know my mother musical track record. So
And let the record show, people always like to say Wayne found Nicki and Drake, but they always leave out Lil Twist and Tyga.
Chanel is hilarious. Bless her little heart. The thing about Chanel West Coast is that she's always talking about this imaginary resume she has. She's always talking about this track record. She's like the side chick who claims she's the main chick, but when you ask the guys about her that she claims to be with, they don't claim her like that. Now, on Love & Hip Hop Hollywood, Chanel West Coast is trying to convince a producer named A1 to do something that no producer really wants to do, and that's record music with her. Chanel West Coast asked the producer A1 about helping her make some mayonnaise music. Yes, Chanel wanted to know if A1 is interested in helping her provide a soundtrack for her unseasoned chicken breast. And A1 had to remind her that back in the day when I wanted to work with you, you played me. Oh, yes, we've heard this tale before. Back then you didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all on me. That's what happened with Chanel and A1 on Love & Hip Hop Hollywood. Can we hear a bit of this, please?
I rap and sing, and I really like your beats. We should definitely link up. So, like, just so you could get familiar, like, I was with Lil Wayne, Young Money. Like, I sat and played all my music for Lil Wayne, and I have songs with French Montana, Snoop, Be Real, Ty Dolla $ign.
Hey, go that track record.
I got a lot of my brothers.
Yeah, you could ask them.
I met you before. I wasn't as high. I was in a session with French Montana, you know. I'm like, yo, we should work. And you had your shades on. I don't know. You probably never looked at me, but I was trying to work with you. And play me. You know, I hope the best for you. I can't work with you.
Drop one of Clues bomb for A1, damn it.
Served up.
That's why you got to treat everyone with respect, because you never know who's going to be who, okay? Basically, A1 told the deli owner to hold the mayonnaise. Now, when the mayo that is Chanel West Coast wasn't allowed on A1 sandwich, when she got introduced to A Tribe Called Curve, not only did she start running down her track record, it was interesting to see how she took me telling her that she was whack.
I don't know if you don't, like, if you know my track record.
Charlamagne said it, right?
No, I had to tell him what it was. Charlamagne also has went at some of the biggest rappers in history, so in my opinion, I'm up there with Kanye and Drake and everybody else.
Whoa.
You know what I'm saying?
What?
But listen, Charlamagne's dissing Chanel West Coast, you're just putting me up in the caliber of the motherfucker you dissing.
Wow.
That's very ambitious.
That's dope. Chanel West Coast thinks because I have called out Drake and Kanye before that, since I called her whack as well, she's on their level. First of all, even though Drake has never been my cup of green tea, I have always said he was an extremely talented individual. Just because I call Kanye West Kanye Kardashian and I think he's in the sunken place does not mean I am not a fan. Kanye West is a musical legend. You, Chanel, are none of these things. All right, let's be clear on that. There are four types of delusions in this world, all right? You got bizarre delusions, non-bizarre delusions, mood-congruent delusions, mood-neutral delusions. I would say, Chanel, you fall under the bizarre delusions category. Somebody asked me what bizarre delusions are. Nobody's going to ask me.
What's bizarre, delusions?
Bizarre delusions are considered extremely odd, highly implausible, and inappropriate based on the person's culture and life experiences, okay? An example of a bizarre delusion would be the belief that an alien performed surgery and replaced all your blood with Kool-Aid without leaving a scar.
That would be dope.
Chanel West Coast thinking she's on the same level as Drake and Kanye West because Charlamagne has so-called dissed all of them. I have been very specific about any reason why I wasn't feeling Drake and Kanye about something, but those guys are extremely talented. Just like with you, Chanel, I think you're a lovely person, but you're just a whack artist. Okay, I think Donald Trump is whack, and I've said that he's whack a bunch of times on this radio. But that don't make you the president, does it, Chanel? Doesn't make you one of the highest politicians in the world, does it? Just because I diss you and Donald Trump. Chanel, you're a whack rapper, okay? You have done music with all of those people. You got this long track record, and it's gotten you absolutely nowhere. You have every musical cheat code known to man, and you keep failing. And you know what they say? When all else fails, there's always delusion. Chanel, don't go chasing Texas Pete. Stick to the Hellmans and the Miracle Whip that you're used to, please. Give Chanel West Coast the biggest hee-haw.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
All the way from Dallas, Texas.
Y'all.
52 Savage.
Y'all, how you doing, Charlamagne? What's going on?
What's happening, brother?
What's up, man? Trying to get to the business.
Now, listen.
Trying to bring old people back. That's what I'm doing.
All right. Old people never left. They don't leave until they die.
They're here. They ain't getting no respect they are now. Like I tell people, don't just respect me. Now go respect the other old cats she was disrespecting back in the day before I started this.
Why do you think they don't respect old people?
Because
no
I know
more,
they don't. I live in the city. I know they don't. They're not helping across the street no more. They're not doing all that. They're pushing them down the street. They're not helping them. They're not doing all that. They still make fun of old cats. Hell, they shoot shots at me, but man, I love life and I'm so confident. I love it.
Please. As you as a rapper.
As a rapper, I'm an entertainer. Actually,
as an entertainer.
I'm a DJ, but when I start to rap, that means I got to start talking. I got to start seeing my issues.
Now, you're not that old, though. You can't be 52?
I ain't even old. They say I'm old.
How old
I saw elderly. I'm 53 now. Now I'm 53 Savage.
You
now.
Can't even get free pancakes at IHOP yet.
No, this just kills me because I got to have that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I mean, the respect level went up.
Yeah.
It's more of just a cat rapping over beat. It's more than that. It's a wave. It's saying, you ain't never too old to do shit. You ain't got to look a certain way. You ain't got to get fixed. If I would never open my mouth, y'all would have never known about me. So,
Charlamagne has told many people up here that they were too old to pursue a career and
That ain't true no more. That ain't true no more. It's more than just, I'm bigger than just me rapping over beat. I can do that all day. I'm like they say out here. I'm nice, son.
Give us some bars right now, 52.
Why?
Because you a rapper, see?
I ain't no rapper, I'm an entertainer, but I can entertain you, drop a beat on. You want me to freestyle?
Yeah, let's go, acapella, go.
Acapella, I'm telling, just to pay attention, like got these boys flinching, no need to mention. See, I'm locking them up and sensing them sacks, and I'm asking them questions, them be stressing, taking my lessons. I'm a chief and ringer, the hard mars. Ain't nobody in here got really no hard bars. Ooh. Tipping cars, a fantasy, Autobahn, tipping toe through the two lifts, cause we having fun. Ooh. Y'all, that's nothing. That ain't even nothing, though. I'm nicer than that on a beat. That's, you know, you asked me to rap.
I don't know what's going on.
We cousins. This is my nephew. He act like this all the time.
Your nephew or your cousin?
My nephew.
Okay.
All y'all my nephew if you're under 53 years old.
Well, Angela's a woman, so she can't be.
That's my niece right there.
Right.
So what got you? Why the name 52 Savage?
I didn't have no name 52 Savage. I'm 52 years old. And then I did the little pressure thing on the back porch. I just, you know, I just felt like this. I mean, this is a pressure beat. I'm going to call it pressure. And this cat came on this page with, oh, 52 Savage got a new song out called High Blood Pressure. You know what I'm saying? So I got the, and then I ain't going to lie, I was mad. I was like, said, no, I'm DJ Sway because I'm a DJ. That's who I am. I'm the hottest DJ in Dallas. I ain't going to lie, I ain't stunning. That's what the that
the hottest DJ in Dallas.
I'm the hottest DJ in Dallas.
I only said that, though, because I wanted people to watch the video.
But that made them, see, they was on him. They ain't going to lie. I said, hell no, I'm DJ Sway. That's my name. Then my cousin says, no, hold up, look. They got hashtag 52 Savage everywhere. So I was like, that's my name. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got to run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at it differently as my, I ain't going to say fans because I don't like the word fans because I see how it's my treat a fan, so they y'all my supporters. I looked at them and I said, this might work. And then I thought about him, and they was shitting on him. I said, nah, man, that man, look at his page, it's all professional. Now he stuck my ghetto ass in between all this professional shit. He didn't have to do that.
Right.
So he seen something. He's saying, it's interesting. No, it's more than interesting, goddammit. It's art. Because when I put it together, drop a track on it, I mean, I'm good, but you know, this man gave me that name. I appreciate it, so I ran with it because all my shit coming through 52 Savage.
Now, who started the GoFundMe page?
Before you get into that, let's talk about your teeth for a second, and let's get into
Or lack thereof.
Lack thereof. You feel what I'm saying?
So, you guys are crazy. What happened to your teeth?
They just... Hell,
he's 53.
Candy arm. Thank
your
you.
Teeth don't fall out of 53.
All right, y'all.
They
wait.
Do when
y'all,
you start. Hey, look, my mom.
Y'all got about 10 more years.
Put it like this, my mom.
Y'all get finesse.
I got more than 10 more years.
My parents got their teeth.
Okay, I had money. Thank you from the projects?
No, not
your
from
parents
projects.
From projects?
Mm-mm.
Okay, then. They got their shit together.
Exactly.
I ain't never had no daddy. First.
Okay.
I don't even know what that is. I wouldn't ever say that in the house. Daddy was not in my vocabulary because we didn't have that one.
Right.
We didn't have that shit. We didn't have Christmas, so you was gifted with all that.
She's privileged.
I ain't never been no gifted. I don't believe in privilege. That's bullshit.
Gifted.
That's somebody handing you something. Mm. That's what you call privilege. Mm. That ain't privilege. If my daddy had money and they handed it down, you ain't done shit.
Mm.
So I ain't giving you no credit for that.
Mm.
I give credit that come from what they call the mud. See what I'm saying?
Mm. That's real.
That's where the credit, I give them credit. I don't trip on no silver spoon because I had a dirty fart. You feel me?
Mm.
So that's what they loving about me is I'm real. Ain't no fake. I didn't wait to get my grill done to come on the show. I didn't wait to get my grill done to start talking. Closed mouth ain't getting let alone fed.
How much does it cost to get these?
Probably $100,000 from what I heard.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's real money. You heard Cardi B? Got that bag. So
it's much.
Hope you know this thing. See, and it ain't. Yeah, I researched before I came. Actually, I did my GoFundMe page for like $40,000. Because I'm not greedy. I don't ever want to be rich. I just don't want to be hungry. So I'm super humble. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Let me read the summary for the GoFundMe.
Okay. Run that for
you
me.
You can't eat steak?
I can't take steak off day. Y'all can do that.
You ain't got time for that.
Oh, I got DJ and Dell said she'll chew my stuff, be the local, and give it back to me.
Right.
And she was playing, but I was serious. She said, I would chew your steak up for you.
And then you could eat it.
And give it to you.
That's right.
And if it's not chewed up enough, then you can give it back.
I thought you was married.
You should marry her.
Who said I was married?
The girl introduced herself to me as Miss Savage.
But did she say Mrs.?
It happens. A couple of them IG pics, that's over. You know how it go.
All right, we got more with 52 Savage. When we come back, so don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got 52 Savage in the building. Now, Charlamagne?
You don't think you're too old for groupies?
Oh, no. You know what I'm saying?
You taking Viagra yet?
No, I'm still good. I'm still nice.
Yeah, 53 ain't old, man.
Hell no. Nah. Ask somebody.
All right, so get back to this GoFundMe.
Oh, the GoFundMe. Okay.
Who created the page?
J-Ray. That's one of my business partners.
Read it.
Raising money for 52 Savage, a.k.a. DJ S. Wade 50, a new Suede. Set of teeth.
DJ Suede.
DJ Suede 50, a new set of teeth. His career has been moving at a fast pace since he was first recognized online as a rapping grandpa. He is glad that he has shown people that you can be any age or look different and still live your dreams. The role model that he has become for the children to young adults has been a joy to him overall, but his missing teeth still causes people to focus on his appearance instead of his talent. You think so?
No, I know so. And then I don't trip on it, but it's the truth. You know, I got to go with the truth over anything else. Look at you. That's the first thing you see. How you doing, baby? You so pretty. What's the first thing you see?
When I seen you?
Why, yeah.
I seen the chains.
That's bullshit.
It is.
I'm going to ask you. That's bullshit.
It was your chains.
No, women, them mother, y'all go from shoes all the way up.
The first thing I seen was your chains. They're blinding.
Okay.
The first thing I
What's
see
next?
You ain't had no teeth.
Thank you.
But not until you open your mouth.
They lying to you. You know how you know they lying to you?
I know they lying.
You ain't got no teeth to see.
What?
So the first thing they saw is your teeth.
I said the first thing you see is you got no teeth.
But I do look at people's fingernails and their teeth. When I first,
you asked for first.
As soon as
really, okay, to be honest, right. Yeah, we can do the farming, but look, first, I don't give a shit, because I'm going to eat regardless. I'm going to still do what I'm going to do regardless. All it takes is you wanting to be, you got to man up and do that. If this was stopping me, would I be at the Breakfast Club with no breakfast? Would I be in there if I went on top of my game? No, it's rappers, you won't even let me come on your show, because you say they ain't good enough. I watch this. I know.
Now, how do you hook up with Snoop? You got a record with Snoop Dogg.
That's the thing, and that's what makes me know something's going on, because I'm not contacting them.
Mm-hmm.
They contacted me.
I seen you with Mike Epps, Snoop.
Same thing, mm-hmm. Mike. What made me get at Mike, this is like my Big Mama song. I said, oh, you got a big girl song. I want to get on that. Yeah, I ain't really finished. Well, it's finished. I hadn't put it out.
Give us a little bit of that.
I'm the type of dude that'll be with Big Mama.
Hey.
I'm like, hey, yeah, I'll f*** with Big Mama.
Hey.
Because Big Mama cook every summer.
Woo!
And that's the kind of broad I be on. That's the real hood. See what I'm saying? So that's why they this nigga. You think Biggie was here? This, but that's New York, and I love New York. I ain't gonna lie, fool. I been outside last night ciphering with niggas on the block, 3-4 in the morning.
Where
was
this?
Shit, I'm on 45th.
What?
45th?
Oh, yeah,
Times Square. Them was woke. I was going to get a snack. I saw cookies.
Right.
Soft
cookies.
So we ciphering on the block.
Damn.
Like, you have
on, bro,
this
I know you. Oh, I had a boiled egg this morning. Sorry. No.
So everything
the
you
Brothers
eat.
The Brothers Club. Now I can eat anything.
Okay.
It's just with precision.
With precision.
Take my time. So it was goddamn hurry. That sent me to the hospital. Please get the GoFundMe thing.
Get the GoFundMe.
Dorito me up what I'm trying to tell you. My brother's wrong. That bitch pointed up and I come down. Come on, man. I fix my sh. I take that back. That's the main reason. I almost went to the hospital. Fucking with, I don't fuck with no chips no more.
You had to go to the hospital because of
the damn now. The fucking Dorito. Man, I can't explain it. It makes me nervous. Shaking it.
The GoFundMe gives y'all a
minute. I don't know how to read GoFundMe page.
Fun, my sh.
Hold on. I'm going to post it. That's what
I'm going to post it.
Oh, here you go. GoFundMe.com.
You friends now.
Yes.
Angela Yee, while you quiet, your ass going to post it. Hey.
No, that's Angela Yee right there.
You lying? I asked that girl, I said, who? I said, who is Angela Yee? This motherfucker said her.
No.
What? That can't be Yee.
Listen, so who you thought this girl was sitting by you? Who you thought Angela was?
Somebody thick. Oh, her?
Yeah, her.
Somebody in my bed. I'm about to say, what the f*** is? What is that? Yeah. Take my ass back to Dallas, man. I'll be lying down here in New York.
Now, do you have grandkids?
Hell yeah.
What?
How many?
15.
What do they think of your rap career?
Some of them like, stop, savage. Like,
you pawpaw.
They want me to turn back into pawpaw.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
some of them thing. But the rest of them, they like this. I mean, I'm soaking it in. This really hadn't really hit me, all this, what they call fame, because I always been famous. I want the bag, the fame. Mm-hmm. This don't mean
nothing.
So
you nothing.
Want a record That's deal? Why I talk to you like, I mean, I want a deal somewhere, TV, something. That's why I'm on that mic. We got some brewing, so y'all don't stay tuned.
Well, the GoFundMe is GoFundMe.com/50Savage, new set of T-Fund, okay?
So 52 Savage, new set of T.
52 Savage, new set of T-Fund.
Okay.
Teeth.
Y'all go donate right now. We're going to get 52 Savage some teeth.
Southside Detail, stand up, ho.
Oh.
Hey.
Oh.
Uno, Loso, my amigo, he going to pour a four.
Hey.
I'm in your bitch throw.
Hey.
I'm about to let it go.
Hey.
But you can't take no more.
Hey.
Bitch, I thought you was a hoe.
Hey.
I be on top of my flow.
Hey.
When I be sliding deep.
Hey.
Oh, ain't no love on top of the game when Savage be in the streets.
Hey.
I'm about to run up and creep.
Okay.
Didn't know how I see.
All right.
I'm running the stable of freaks. Yo ho, it's the flavor of the week. Charlamagne, man, Gold Chain, man, had to plug the OG.
Hey.
52 Savage, far from average. I smashed the beat. Get hot, my 52 Savage live on the show, man. Y'all know what it is.
Hey, tell them where to follow you, 52.
Please follow me at DJ Suede 50. That's S-W-A-D-E, Suede like that. Not the material. D-Wave, first D-Wave, at DJ Suede 50.
GoFundMe.com/52Savage, new right. set of T-Fund.
52 Savage.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for joining us, sir.
All day.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have some special guests with us in the building.
This is such a beautiful thing, man. We had this this young old man, 52 Savage,
correct.
On. Say what up, 52.
Yeah.
And then my guy, Daniel Rubenstein, I was connected with him through Mr. Flawless.
Shout out to Mr. Flawless.
And Daniel Rubenstein is a man of his word. A few weeks later, they both were sitting here, and 52 Savage got 32 teeth.
32 Savage.
Let me see the teeth. You got to show us the teeth one time.
His swag is different.
Show us the teeth. Oh! Look at the teeth. Now, Dr. Rubenstein.
It's been a long time since I've done this, so I'm... Preston,
can 52 Savage eat steak? Can he eat everything? Yeah, yeah. Is he fully good to do whatever he needs to do?
It's like anything else. When you get something new, it takes a little bit of practice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But once he gets the hang of it, he could eat anything, basically.
Now, how was the procedure putting these teeth in? Did you have to knock out his three teeth or the teeth that he
had? I didn't. Actually,
five,
so,
yeah, five teeth.
No,
teeth.
He has four and a half.
Four and a half.
Four and a half teeth. So, and I actually incorporated his teeth with the whole procedure.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't take them out because... Actually, I use them as anchors to hold everything together. So
really?
It was a blessing in disguise, yeah.
So tell me how this all happened and explain what kind of teeth these are. Because I know you said there were different procedures that you could do to give him his teeth. So what procedure did you do?
Okay, so, you know, having four and a half teeth, you could do...
That just sounds so crazy, man. That sounds so crazy.
You could do a massive surgery, place implants, takes 6 months to heal, then another 6 months to do it. It could be over a year and a half.
Oh,
I was like, I want this gentleman to go out today with a smile that's going to last for a long, long time.
Correct.
So I used my noggin and I spoke to my team and I was like, what can we do? And we decided to use his actual healthy four and a half teeth as anchors for the whole smile makeover. And basically that's holding everything together and it's nice and tight in there and...
How long did it
time.
Take?
Oh,
it took roughly like 8 to 10 hours.
Wow. Did you go to sleep?
No, it wasn't 8 to 10 hours consecutive.
Mm.
It was we did a little work, pause. We had to have my lab technicians work on it, come back, work on a little bit more. So it was basically like 4 to 6 appointments all in one shot.
And you did it in your office?
In my office.
A lot of people said that it would be, you know, you're a dentist, so he would have to go to an oral surgeon.
Right,
but
right.
That didn't have
I
to
took
happen.
Care of it. I brought everyone to my office.
Wow.
Dr. Rubenstein got a team.
I made it happen.
How do you feel, 52?
I feel good. All of them fine.
Have you always had, when was the last time you had all your teeth in your mouth?
I can't remember. Probably 16, 17, 18.
How did you lose them to begin with? Just not taking
care of them? Hard head. Eating candy, going to sleep with dilators in my mouth and all that good shit. Oh, no, I hated him. Because I associated the dentist with pain.
Absolutely.
You don't even know how to talk right now.
No, I don't, but I'm learning.
Now, did you have to numb his mouth, or how did that work?
Oh, yeah.
Novocaine?
I gave him a little Novocaine, but not really. I mean, I knew exactly where I needed to touch his teeth, and I knew that some areas are not going to feel anything, and he did really, really well.
Have you talk about maintenance after the fact, because he didn't know how to take care of his teeth before. We don't want him to lose these.
So
and they gave me a whole toothbrush.
Talk to Mike. Talk to Mike.
What?
So I used to have a half, and I ain't had that much. And I was finished, but he gave me a whole
toothbrush. Oh, you used to have a half
and this time, a whole package of toothpaste lasts me less than a year or so.
Hey, now you about to see. Now you got to start spending money on toothpaste.
Exactly. Dang, I was saving money at first.
Now, Charlamagne was asking about maintaining. How does he maintain his grill now?
Okay, so, you know, many of us start off with 32 teeth. Then we start losing it throughout life. So right now, 52 Savage has 4.5 teeth in his mouth. And those are the most important teeth in his mouth because that's what's going to hold everything together. So the way you maintain it, you got to brush, floss, use mouth rinse. Just really keep an eye on those 4.5 teeth.
52, you cannot clean your jewelry more than you clean your teeth, okay?
They gonna see this first, so I gotta do this first. Look how my mouth.
What's the first thing you're gonna do when you get back to Dallas?
Take these out.
So he can take the teeth out?
Yeah, I'm trying to get used to them, so he's making me wear them.
Wear them, man. Why don't you want to take them out? Keep them in.
Now, he won't have any problem with the teeth just falling out here in the club DJing. No,
that's what I told him. I said, I don't want nothing that moves when I move.
Right.
So he was like, okay, I'll take Chris.
So the teeth will stay in regardless.
They're going to stay in because we're using his actual teeth as anchors. And, I mean, his teeth, his bone is so strong.
Hey,
even though he had so much, you know.
Yeah, you got to pause that, Dan. Mr. Rubenstein. Jesus Christ, his bone is so strong. What the hell?
So anyway, so.
No comment on that.
The denture is going to hold up really well.
Really well. Now, if somebody wanted to do this procedure and pay for it, how much would it cost ballpark?
How you know 52 ain't paid for it? You don't know.
We do know.
We do know. We set
it up.
He
didn't get the money in his GoFundMe.
They don't know nothing. Well,
how much, would it have cost ballpark?
Because we did it also in one day. I brought the whole team. I mean, it could range between $15,000 and $25,000.
Goodness gracious. Merry Christmas.
It's worth it, though, man.
Savage.
It's worth it.
It's definitely worth it.
52
it's
Savage.
I got a percentage on it now.
One of the first things
But I'm blessed, though.
Teeth.
I mean, that's what you said, and that's true. I asked you that, and you was like, no, the chain. I was like, no.
I did not say the chain.
Ooh, do I need to rewind?
She did say the chain. I said the teeth, yes.
After, hold on, let me ask somebody smile, no. Yep. DJ to DJ. And you said, yeah, the smile. I said, thank you.
Can I think?
Which, yes, sir.
That's the reason why I want to, because people notice this and won't give me a chance to see my talent. So
right.
Just for the haters, that's why I got
Yeah,
this.
Now they can't.
I ain't get it for me.
They can't talk negative about you now. They can't.
Well, they can. They're going to do that anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just can't use this.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
they still will when somebody else paid for it. You know how brothers do.
So what? That's
a lot of people were hating on that GoFundMe. They were like, well, he got all them chains. Why can't he just pay for it?
Well, I was fly before the teeth, so what I'm supposed to throw away my... almost cussing.
You flying
throw
now.
Throw away my stuff before... Because I ain't got teeth. Nah, I'm going to still be clean. Now, you got to have something else to look at, too. So I'm going to accessory up.
Now, what you were saying, Dr. Rubenstein?
Like envy.
Yeah, so one of the biggest things that you could see as a change in his total face, 52 Savage face, is that the lower portion of the face, if you don't have teeth, it kind of collapses.
Right.
And it makes you look a lot older. Mm. So when you put in teeth properly, it will build up that part of the mouth and it'll make you look so much younger. And that's why all these comments that he's getting, he's like, man, you look like you're 25 years old now, 35 years old.
They lying. They definitely lying. I'm going to say early 40s.
That's somebody want to ride the wave tonight. Oh, they lying.
40. Right. Don't fall for the
desk. I do 40. 40. You say 25, you trying to get in my pocket. So. I pushed the button on that. But hey, all love, man, for New York. I'm going to be honest, man, I went to West Coast. I went to Atlanta. I mean, a lot of places. When I came to New York, I was like, damn, New York ain't never had a good rapport with the South, so I wonder how it's going to be. But the East Coast, man, stepped all the way up. And all I want to do is just say I really appreciate it. I really didn't expect it. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect this much. I expect maybe we'll get on Charlamagne's show because we've been talking or whatever. But that's far as I thought it would go. But for them to step up and do this for me,
mm-hmm,
it's probably the first time I actually shared it a tour because I didn't expect it.
Right.
It came out of left field on me. I was like, oh, man, Charlamagne, what the? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm from South Carolina, so my hospitality is a little different, man. But, you know, salute to Dr. Rubenstein.
Your hospitality got me up here.
All love, my brother. Salute to Dr. Rubenstein, though. Know, like, for him
but
to step
him,
up the way he
spent his money on it, so let me.
Yes, he
but
did.
But not only that, he took a day out of his practice where he
yes
could have been had patience and
that's
brought
true
a whole team other, in.
Many different things. Yeah. And
it's
made
a team effort.
And
it really
and,
is a team effort.
Appreciate by myself, you and your team, man.
By myself, I wouldn't be able to achieve this. I mean, my whole squad, they work so hard, and the energy is very similar to mine, and they're all my right hands, and they really do it for the bottom of their hearts. So I think, you know, I love what I do, and I'm very blessed that I was able to help him and whoever else I can.
And your practice is Bensonhurst Dental in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
Where can people get in touch with you if they want to?
I mean, Instagram is cool.
Okay.
So what's the Instagram?
DR_Rubenstein. RUBINSHTEIN.
You do kids as well?
I work with some kids, sure.
It's not the last you're going to hear from Dr. Rubenstein, though. We're going to have him up here a lot just talking about teeth and whatnot.
Absolutely.
And we got to get Dr. Rubenstein on TV. He's too handsome not to be on television.
Thank you. You guys are amazing. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Was that your shot? You shooting your shot over there, bro?
That's my guy right there. Well, listen, round of applause to 52 Savage, man. Rubenstein, drop on the cool box for 52 and Dr. Rubenstein.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
we appreciate
you, man.
You guys again, man. Thank you so very much for coming up here and enjoy the tea, man.
Why was Fat Boy here?
I'll call you tomorrow.
I'm not trying to call him in. I just seen Fat Boy running around.
He's asleep.
He fell asleep.
Fat Boy, what are you doing?
Come here, yo.
Fat Boy, what are you doing?
Fat Boy fell asleep.
He got a whole
Fat Boy, what up, my brother?
What is Fat Boy doing?
How you?
We still ain't got no breakfast for you, Fat Boy.
His eyes is all red.
I need to work on that.
How you,
too,
Mr.
Man.
Generous?
What's happening, Mr. Jenner's?
What's up, Unc? I love you, Unc.
What's up with you?
Talk to the mic, fat boys.
What's going on here?
What's up, world? What's up, people, man? I love y'all, man. I appreciate y'all. Shout out to the Breakfast Club, Charlamagne, DJ Envy, Angelique. Y'all all beautiful. Shout out to the doc, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, salute the fat boy. One of the first times I heard of Dr. Rubenstein was through Fat Boy's Instagram.
Of course.
That's his.
Of course, he get my teeth right.
Word.
It's my doctor. He get my teeth right. He make sure I'm good.
And now we got 52 good. So thank Dr. Rubenstein helping the culture.
It's been a long time.
There you go. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.